Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, indeed.
2024.
Yep.
First time back in the studio. It's lovely to see all your faces.
You too. Do you have a nice Christmas?
Really nice, like, quiet.
Yeah. Feels like ages ago already.
It really does. Lots and lots of eating. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like a pig.
You don't look like one.
I've ate so much. But how was your Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, very good. Lots of family stuff as per. And yeah, all good. No complaints.
Good, good. And
back
I hope
to it.
Everyone at home had a lovely Christmas and New Year.
Indeed.
And as always, we're always delivering. And we've got a jam-packed show this evening. And we are joined by, and he's coming into the studio, X Factor winner, Mr. Matt Terry.
Yeah.
So he'll be coming in. He's got a little musical comeback.
Exciting.
Which is a brand new year, brand new comeback. And we're also going to be putting an awards ceremony knowledge test.
And I'm going to be rubbish at this.
I'm kind of excited though. I love a game, didn't I?
You do, you do. Well, I think it's probably now a good time to say as well, I'm coming to the end of my Access All Areas journey, Bob. I'll be leaving the show at the end of
Jan.
So yeah, just putting it out there. You better put on a good last show for me, that's all I'm saying. 31st of Jan.
31st Jan, so Stephen's last show. Right, leave it with me. I'm gonna put a nice little a little show together for you.
Better. That's all I'm saying.
Exciting times ahead, though.
Of course. Nothing but gratitude. I've had a lovely time in the 8 years I've been here. So it's on with the show, you know. All good.
It's a good one. It's going to be a good one.
It is a good one.
I'm excited for, well, obviously we're joined by our showbiz gossip expert, Miss Ellen.
Oh, the only thing I'm an expert in, by the way, showbiz gossip.
And how was your Christmas and New Year, darling?
It was lovely. It was way too quick. I'm already drained. We're the first week in the new year and I'm burnt out. I want another Christmas period to look forward to.
No, I feel like this time of year I'm so over it.
Really?
That tree came down.
Yeah.
I'm like,
really?
Yeah, mine's straight
still up.
Away.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah, it's still up. I really don't want to take any decorations down. I'm just going to hold on to them for a little longer. The thing is, winter is so long in the UK. Like, it's the lot. It's,
yes,
it's like
true.
8 months of summer or of winter. So the when Christmas is over, like you said, it's just like, oh, now we just have drab, wet weather.
Mm-hmm.
So may as well just, like, make Christmas last a little bit longer.
I hear
the
you.
Joy. I'll take them down this weekend, but yeah, for now they're staying up.
And how do you feel
fair
looking
enough
at them? Because I'm very superstitious normally. Is it 12 days before, 12 days after? But something about this year, I think, I was just ready for 2024. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just got to the point, I thought, I can't look at that tree anymore.
That's exactly how
and
I felt.
And I think I took it down a few days before my traditional I don't want bad luck, because I just thought, you know, I've got to box this tree up and I'll look at you again in a few months.
I actually threw my tree out.
Do you have a real tree?
No. I have a fake tree.
You threw the fake out?
I just decided, don't like it anymore. I'll get a new one next year.
Yeah.
This might be a bit crude, but somebody said to me before that Christmas decorations after Christmas is like watching porn after sex.
That's exactly. You feel a bit embarrassed.
Yeah. What am I doing?
Yeah, I think that's
take
right.
Take this down.
Yeah, you're a bit embarrassed about your previous actions.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh my God, I was so festive back then.
Laying on the sofa full of shame and regret.
We've all been there.
Covered in Quality Street.
I'm fucking just throwing pigs in blankets down my neck. But that's another story. Ellen, let's talk. First episode of the brand new year.
Yeah.
And what is going on in showbiz?
Well, there's a lot this week, actually, because the Golden Globes are the gift that keep on giving. Did you see the comedian's stand-up monologue, Joe Coy? I'd actually never heard of him before.
No, me neither.
He literally bombed. Like, it was the worst stand-up material I've ever seen. But a lot of people are saying that it's also to do with the audience. The audience were not up for banter. They weren't up for laughs. So a lot of his jokes just like died.
They weren't landing,
they
though.
Weren't.
I think that whatever your audience, it just for me, and we've only seen clips here in the UK,
yeah,
but generally we don't watch the full 14 hours of however long it is. But nothing seemed to land.
No, it didn't. It seemed, and like, I think actually a lot of people were saying, oh, the audience was a bit too sensitive and stuff like that. But I think actually the jokes just weren't funny. Like, yeah. I didn't understand many of them. Like, I know the he'd done a Barbie movie joke and he said that Barbie was based on a plastic doll with big boobs. But the whole point of Barbie was a feminist movement and stuff like that. So I get that that was a play on that, but people didn't like that. But also, tell me if you understand this joke, because I really don't. The big difference between the Golden Globes and the NFL, at the Golden Globes, we have fewer camera shots of Taylor Swift.
Yes, I do get that.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's a not
shade,
funny, right?
No, I'm funny, but there's a lot of shade there.
It's because her boyfriend's an NFL player, right? And she's been going to the matches and basically... Matches, games, whatever they call it in America.
Yeah, I know. I have no clue.
And, I love how he looks at me. Like, know, Mr. Sportsman in the corner, Mr. Norris will know if it's a match or a game.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's in theory, yeah, it's funny, but like something about she did not react well.
She did not react well.
Stony face.
I know, but I didn't even feel like it was an offensive joke. Like, it's just a fact. Like, it's a true joke. There's so many shots of her at those NFL games. Like, so, but she really didn't like it. Like, I've heard way worse jokes about Taylor Swift. So I thought she would have laughed it off, but maybe it's because the audience had already turned against him at that point. So she was like, oh, don't bring my name into this.
Yeah, maybe you couldn't bring him back. But I think that is notorious, especially when someone's partner. So I don't know if they're like wags of anything other than football, but when someone, like, I remember, like, back in the day, they would try and get a shot of Vicky B in the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
or Colleen.
It's kind of one of them things, but yeah, she didn't enjoy it.
No, the only difference between that is Taylor Swift is bigger than the NFL.
Exactly. Tay don't need it, do you know what I mean? She ain't clawing onto that headline the next morning.
Exactly.
She ain't looking, like, at Google alerts.
Yeah.
If they wrote about me.
It's more like he's the wag in that relationship. I'm like, who? What is your name? Like,
what is
Amen.
I don't even know. I don't know.
Talking of Tay Tay, and I'm hoping you're going to come on to this, because my favourite moment, even though we don't really know the ins and outs, but we're all speculating on the old socials.
Yeah.
Miss Taylor Swift was involved in the little table with the trio of girls.
I know.
Are you going to tell us a bit more, Ellen? Come on, Miss Showbiz.
I'm going to try. So basically, there was a lip reading expert spoke to the Mail Online, and they basically were saying that Selena Gomez said Timothy, who is going out with Kylie Jenner at the moment. And then the girls were like, what? No. Oh, my God. So it looked like real good goss. Like, do you know that face that everyone pulls when you get good gossip?
Yeah.
Like,
when the tea is spilt hot.
Well, yeah, because weren't they suggesting that Kylie Jenner had said no
to a photograph with Timothy. Yeah.
So Timothy and Selena are friends, right? I've written about this before. I know they worked together on a TV show, I think.
In 2008.
Yeah,
and
a long
they shared
time
an
ago.
On-screen, or 2018, they shared an on-screen kiss as well.
Right. So, I mean, they know each other and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, apparently she went in for a photo and
that's what they're saying.
Blocked.
Yeah. So apparently Kylie Jenner had refused Selena to get a picture with Timothy because they're now dating. But I don't I honestly can't see, like, why would surely Kylie's not in charge of him. He'd be like, excuse me, she's a colleague, like an ex-colleague, like, I know her well.
So as journalists, what's your take on this? Because obviously, like you say, on social media, everyone's jumped on this and they're like, right, so Selena's gone and asked for a photo, like a selfie.
Yeah.
Kylie's said, allegedly, no, you ain't having one. And she's gone back pissed and told the girls. And then you kind of got the reaction of the other girls listening to the conversation. Do you think there's truth in it?
I always feel like there's no smoke without fire. So, like, I don't know if exactly what happened, but maybe it was like she got a cold shoulder from Kylie. Maybe she did get the photo with Timothy and then Kylie kind of gave her a dirty look. God knows. Like, I'm not sure what happened there. But Selena denies it. She basically commented under an article saying, actually, no, I was gossiping about one of my other friends who hooked up with one of my other friends.
That sounds like such Billy bullshit. You've been caught out and you're like, oh, no, it was a friend.
Selena and Kylie have beef, because I know that Kim back in the day, and I think I can't keep up, I think that they've come out since and said that Taylor and Kim have kind of put things aside, because obviously there was the Kanye stuff 100 years ago, which then come forward. So the girls have got beef there, but obviously these girls are a clique. But I'm thinking, would Kylie be that petty? Because it's no skin off her minge whether her fella goes and has a selfie.
Yeah.
As if she gives a shit.
I know.
Kylie's all right. Do you know what I mean? She's got a couple of quid in her bank account.
Exactly.
And I just don't think she'd be that bothered.
I don't think she'd seem that petty.
I wouldn't give it the steam off my piss. I'd be like, have a fight with my boyfriend if you want.
I feel like maybe Kylie just doesn't like Taylor, and maybe it's just a girl beef. It's kind of always been like that way in the tabloids, right?
That's a good point. Mm. Kardashian, Taylor, what's the word? Animosity has been going on for some
it's
time.
It's been going on for a long
Kanye
time.
Kanye connection. Yeah.
That's it. And there seems to be always something when they're at award ceremonies together. There's always some sort of drama going on there.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe something did happen with those group of people, but I doubt it is what it is, because there's no way Kylie could control him and be like, no, you're not getting a photograph with her, because I'm pretty sure he would walk away. He would be dead right to. And he'd be like, excuse me, I'll get a photo with who I want.
And the one thing, I mean, love him or hate him, and I say this all the time when we talk about, I love a Jenner and a Kardashian, but I know some people, it ain't their bag, and that's fine, different horses for different courses. Mm. But what you can't say the girls aren't is loyal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're like a pack of lionesses.
They really are.
And so I kind of get if it was Taylor asking for the photos, but I don't know whether you inherit the beef of your mate. And a selfie ain't that deep.
It's not that deep.
It also makes you look a bit worse, I think, being like the person who's like, no, you can't have a selfie.
But I just hope...
Why would Selena even want a selfie with him? Like, they have plenty. They used to do Instagram lives together every day.
That's a good point.
So it's not like she's never met the geezer.
Exactly. You know? They're friends, technically. Yeah. Like, they used to be, asking people to vote together. They've done petitions. They've done Instagram lives every day when they were on set together. So they're quite close friends. So it'd be so weird for her to go up to his table and be like, excuse me, can I have a selfie?
Yeah, like fangirl.
Fangirling. Yeah. Like, he'd be like, I'll see you later at the after party.
She's in quite a good situation herself. Do you know what I mean? It's not like she's just stopped him outside Savers.
Yeah.
And said, and I love Savers, by the way, so no tea, no shade. But I want to know more about it. And I just hope in the next series or season, should I say, of the Kardashians on Hulu, if it will be addressed. I'm sure it will.
It Kris would be Jenner, great. Although Kylie doesn't really show much of her life, does she?
But hopefully Kris will bring the tea, or she'll get one of the girls to drop it in, because that's what we want. I love looking at a nice car and a nice house and a nice wardrobe, which is bigger than
their pantries,
the apartment. But
their pantries are insane.
They don't even eat all that food.
They don't. But also their pantries the size of my London flat. Yeah,
their gyms, all of it, like, is just huge.
Yeah,
you could live in the closet.
You could, and it's so aesthetically pleasing. All the colours and rainbows.
I love
stuff.
It, especially
so
Chloe.
Yeah.
It does me OCD tendencies amazing
I
to watch her.
Episode.
She labels things.
Yeah.
And that's, I take me out off, I'm not claiming credit. I do the Oreo jar, and I've got that from
Chloe. Do you?
Yeah, I'm that bitch.
Oh my God. Do you have it on display?
Yeah, it's an ornament.
Oh my God.
I mean, I ain't letting Oreo for about 3 years.
Do you replace them?
Well, I made this
mistake.
I had a show come round to film something in my apartment. And I, as the host that I am, I was like, oh, tea, coffee, pot noodle, what do you want? And done the boys' lattes. I think it was, might have been tea anyway. That's not relevant. But I was like, help yourself to... Because I was looking at it, and I have a jar of... what's the cereal with the marshmallows in? I have a jar of Lucky Strikes.
Lucky Charms.
We're not promoting cigarettes here. Gave up the day. I don't have a jar of fags on the table.
So aesthetic.
Years ago, maybe at an after party.
Very 1960s, isn't it?
Anyway, camera crew, sound people, lighting. They all had a lovely coffee. And I was like, help yourself. And they all took an Oreo, and I was like, boy, these are stale as fuck. And I thought about it, and I was like, they're probably 3 years old.
Oh,
but they're
God.
An ornament. You know, some people collect China pigs.
Oh, my God.
I do aesthetically pleasing.
Do people collect China pigs?
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, not many people in Essex. Generally, we have, we have Canvases and Marilyn in Essex. I hate to stereotype, or some people love a live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
You see
a few
of them about.
Yeah.
But, So, if you come round mine, don't go for an Oreo.
I'll bring my own.
Right,
I've replaced them since. Anyway, moving on for more. This ain't even an ad, but Oreo, if you're listening, you're missing a fucking trick. Slide in the DMs. What else, Miss Ellen?
So moving on from the Golden Globes, even though we'll probably have more articles coming out about that. Strictly. Oh, so Giovanni and that feud with Amanda Abingdon, that has reared its ugly head again. So basically, Amanda Abingdon's source said about their feud that Amanda has PTSD from her time in Strictly. And that she's been going through therapy to get over her time in Strictly, which sounds like quite horrific.
Yes.
She's also asked the BBC for footage of their rehearsals together. So I think she kind of wants to show how hard it was, maybe how hard he pushed her, and the reason for her leaving. But initially, so this, they were basically partnered last year on Strictly Come Dancing. She left halfway through the show and she had said that it was personal reasons. But a lot of the tabloids were thinking at that time it was a feud with Giovanni, only because Giovanni has had feuds with other partners that he was with before, allegedly, including Laura Whitmore. She was partnered with him in 2016.
Love Laura Whitmore.
Love her as well.
She's
and
great.
She basically said that she's not ready to talk about it yet, and she still hasn't talked about it. But she did say that it was a lot and it broke her. And she's not the only one. There's also Ranveer, who works on Good Morning Britain. She also had problems with him when she was partnered with him. And she spoke about that before. She said he was really strict. He says that it's just his way of training. He's just a professional and he wants things done correctly. But the BBC have stood by him. They released a statement today basically saying that, yeah, they're standing by him, and the claims, they investigated the claims and they don't see anything. They said her claims were excessive, is what they said.
I'm just saying, if I ever did Strictly, you could train me out. Just saying.
Well, he did have a same sex. He was with Richie Anderson last year.
He ain't had Bobby Norris, yeah.
No,
Stephen.
He certainly hasn't.
And that's what he needs in his life.
I mean,
I'll train him out.
Sign him up. He's
Come
ready.
Come on, BBC. I can hear that the keyboard in BBC headquarters.
Clicking and clacking him, yeah.
So what's, obviously I know, alleged, obviously, but what's the word on Fleet? What's the rumour mill on Fleet Street as journalists?
Yeah. Well, the rumour mill, as I said earlier on, this is going to be the most used phrase of the day, but there's no smoke without fire. I feel like not everybody he's partnered with has had a problem. Not everybody, but most of them, especially women. So I feel like there's maybe some, I don't know, I don't want to say the word bullying, but maybe he's just harsh on people and they're not used to it because they're kind of like celebrities.
Over the years, there's been a lot of professional dancers who've had a reputation for being hard taskmasters, right? I think Brendan Cole, what's his name? The one, James... who won Dancing on Ice.
Anyway, James Jordan.
James Jordan. They've all had reputations for being like hard taskmasters. And then there's others like Anton Dubek and Vito, who won this year, who have reputations for being very nice.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of luck of the draw. Who you get, like, kind of depends on what the producers decide. And I guess that's just bad luck if you get someone that you don't mesh with.
That you don't mesh with.
Because other people, like, you know, Debbie McGee posted that she'd had a really good time with Giovanni.
She looked like she had a fucking lovely time. He was swinging around like a catering wheel at a fireworks show. Fuck me, them legs were going
up round by her head. Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she's still got it. And I mean, I've never done Strictly, obviously. So I'm not sat here taking sides, but like being what do they call it? Being the other side of the fence, or just looking at it from an objective view. Is it that? Because we have to remember, like, to be a professional on Strictly, I think dancing in general, like, to be a dancer, you're an athlete. Like, the fitness level's there. And a lot of these people start at 3, 4, 5. Like, it's a lifetime's work.
Yeah.
And it must be kind of hard. And again, I'm not defending Giovanni. I don't know him from a bar of soap. It's not like we're best mates or nothing. But Is it one of them that you want to do so well and you want the celeb to do well that you was, how you know dancing is,
yeah,
that you, it's fucking hard work. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You've got a kind of graft. And I'm not saying that, I'm not excusing anything.
Yeah.
But maybe for some people, like if you went to learn, to, if there was a reality show about being a professional footballer, I'm sure there's footballers that would be.
Exactly. Yeah, coaches that would. Yeah.
So is it that you've kind of, it's trying to get the best out of you and it's like tough love.
That's it. That's what it probably is.
And I think like, some people, deal with that better than others. Some people can't, don't mind being told what to do. Others really resent it.
Exactly.
I get the impression that Amanda was not the kind of person that she enjoyed like being told where to do, and she was doing it wrong, maybe, and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
sources
told me that she's fuming.
Right.
And she's still fuming.
And it's interesting that she's not even, I think there was a headline, and I don't want to misquote it, but I don't think it was that she's asked for. I saw a headline, which again, take for a pinch of salt, that she's demanding footage, or her people demanding brings a whole nother level of it.
Mm.
But we're going to, I'm sure, come back to this in weeks to come. But just saying, people say, Giovanni wants to throw someone around Elstree this year. I'm your bitch. And thank you so much, Ellen. You know, we love a little bit of showbiz gossip, but. Yes. We've got a crack on. We've got the lovely Matt Terry waiting for us. So, guys, we'll be back in two. Miss Ellen, we'll see you next week, darling.
See you next week.
Thank you.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What's Mel B like then? Because I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
No, I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
do. I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London, it got cancelled. And whoever she was living with made us Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled, we all sat around the table eating cake. I got in the car and I was like, I've just sat with a Spice Girl eating Victoria sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky sponge. Nick Helm and
Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club. We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot. I've got.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he?
That's my club.
The dating show. Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema, or you'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were, maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like more excited than I do now. Like the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like, if the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang.
And we are joined in the studio, and it's so exciting to have you in here, mate, because first guest of 2024 is X Factor winner Matt Terry. How are you, Matt? Did you have a lovely Christmas and New Year? Let's start with the formalities.
I really did. I ate lots of roast potatoes, cauliflower cheese. I don't do turkey. It's too dry for me. But other than that, I enjoyed everything else.
Love that. Love that. And how was, I'm guessing we're just dipping our toe into 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you finding it? Any New Year's resolutions?
I always say keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not really like a resolution person. Like I like a Monday, do you know what I mean? Where we get back on the routine, go back to the gym or whatever. Whatever we've got to do. But I always say keep doing what I'm doing because I just feel like, I don't know, I'm at that place where I'm just like, no, I'm
pretty
all right.
Content.
I think I'm okay.
Nice place to be.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is working because you won the 13th series, which is mad. That was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that, 8 years now?
Yeah, seven or eight.
Seven or eight.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Does that feel mad when you hear that it's that long ago or yeah. like yesterday?
It's both. Yeah. Like, whenever I look back at pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I was a child. Or like people are like, oh, you look so different now. I'm like, well, I can grow a beard now.
I've got hair.
Yeah, I've got hair. Like, I guess I'm a man now, you know? But yeah, then other times I look back and I'm like, oh my God, fuck, that was like yesterday. Like yeah, I can remember moments that was like as if I was still there. I don't know, I've had a lot of like deja vu recently, like releasing new music has just taken me back. I was like, I didn't think I'd ever do it again. I was just like, nah, fuck this.
It's really
like,
why?
I think like the process of it is just wild. Like from like being like a waiter, right, to then being expected to produce like a number one album, like I'm just like hi. And don't get me wrong, I look back now and I'm like, fuck no, I did that, I'm so proud of what I've achieved, but it's taking me like to get to this level of maturity to see it. Before I looked back and I was just like, oh, that was tough, like so many people telling me what to do, where to be, what to wear, who to be, and I was just saying yes. Like I was like, these people clearly know what they're
doing.
Let me just, you know, I don't know, when you, I don't think
how this, old are you when you won?
23.
Right,
but I was a young 23 year old. Like I grew up in Spain, I was so naive, like I weren't, I look at, like, I know 23-year-olds now, and I was like, fuck, if I was like you and I was 23, yeah. I'd have been okay. But at this point, I was just like a deer in headlights.
When you look back at your timeline, because it's X Factor was a huge machine of a show, and obviously reality TV, does X Factor fall into reality? I think it does.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts when you look at even 2016 to where you're at now? How did you find that world of, because that was kind of something back, I started telling, I think 2011, so we only had Twitter, so there was Instagram weren't even a thing, there was certainly no TikTok or anything like that. So you, the world had just become big on social, so that was blowing up. So you was probably one of the first winners where social was a huge
Instagram
thing.
Was the thing for us. Yeah, it was, because like, that was the platform that they was like, make sure you're posting here, and like, you know, telling us to use that platform. And I remember the day when we were all in the house and they're like, right, you are all getting blue ticks. And we're like, I was like, what does that mean? You're like, it means you're official. I'm like, am I not already official?
Like, it's the day you become blue tick dick.
Yeah, blue tick dick. I was just like, no, it was just wild. Like, I don't think, I never have taken anything too seriously. Like, I actually just think all that shit, like, take my blue tick away, or it doesn't mean anything to me. But I remember at the time, like, everyone in the house was like, oh, brah, sick, man. and I'd be like, oh, brah, yeah, sick, man. Like, yeah, we're gonna get blue ticks, like, whatever. And I don't think I realised what I had there, like, when I went, like, I just had Instagram. I had, like, 4 followers or something. To, you know,
and I guess because like some reality shows where people, where it's not necessarily a talent that is the concept of the show, whereas X Factor, obviously you've got to be able to sing. It kind of helps to be on the X Factor to sing, doesn't it? So I guess that's what changed it a little bit. But do you find to go on to a show where you know you've got a talent because you can sing, and then the world of reality that kind of goes with that, it must kind of blur a lot of lines?
Yeah, it does, because I remember, like, it sounds really silly, but I remember there my like all of a sudden I had a diary on my phone, and then like that's what I do every day, and it would be like this event, and I'd be like, but I'm a singer, like, where's the studio time? Oh, no, you need to go to, Honoured, the Pride of Britain. Like, I get that's a big deal. But, like, there'd be other things that I'm like, I don't know. Again, really cool stuff.
I feel like I remember coming down, I was working at OK Magazine at the time. Were you down at, like, the Oxford Street Christmas lights?
Yes.
Something? I feel like I remember.
Me and Rita Ora.
Yeah, coming down to, like, see you do that. Yeah. And I may have, there was, like, a red carpet. I may have interviewed you on that. I mean, yeah, so, like, exactly that kind of thing, right?
Like, I mean, that, I was like, yeah, I'm performing. I get to sing. But I just remember it took a lot of time before I even got into the studio, because I'm like, hold on, guys, you've told me that I have to write a number one album, right? Not any of you, not any of you at the label, not any of you in the management, that you, Matthew, need to get in the studio. So where's my studio time? And I just remember thinking, like, to answer your question, like, the blur there was just like, fuck, I've got to be at all these events, and then I just want to be in the studio, or I just want to be doing a show. But I've just really made sure that throughout my life, I never wanted to depend on socials because I'm not the best at socials. Like, I can take some pictures in a cool outfit somewhere, but I'm not a consistent social media person. Like, I follow you, right? And I'm like,
thanks, babe. I follow you.
Yeah, I know. I've followed you for a long time, and I feel like I know how to make roast potatoes because of you.
Thank you. Oh, yes. I mean, I could teach you a thing or two.
Yeah, come on. But I just don't have like that consistency of it. So I've always just tried to make sure that like my life is sort of like I'm based on like songwriting, musicals, you know, things like that. Instead of, so I've really just tried to shift it over because I wouldn't call myself an influencer because I'd be a shit one. No one would book me. No one wants me to promote a cream egg, I tell you.
but that's what you're doing now. You've gone into sort of songwriting and that. How's that been as a career progression?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think like after I trained in musical theatre before the show, so that was like my, what I was kind of trying to get into.
Yeah.
And then when X Factor came up, I was like, oh, fuck it, what have I got to lose? Might as well give it a go. And then obviously, luckily, it went the right way. but I ended up back into musicals. Like, I just finished Rock of Ages last year and things like that, which I loved. And I think that really, like, just took me, it, like, gave me a reset. It was like the button that I needed to be pushed. I was like, part of a cast, I could be around with people, travel the country. Like, some of them, we toured the world. And I needed that, but yeah, then songwriting came because of COVID, really. Like, musicals that I was supposed to be doing were no longer going to go ahead, and I was like, I can't just sit here. Like, I've painted the wall 3 times. I've already eaten 7 banana breads. Like, I'm
watching fucking back to back Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah,
that was me. No shade. Love Homes Under the Hammer. But when you start getting so invested in these houses on a terrace, I'm like, oh no, I would have bidded more for that.
Yeah.
But we all got to that point. And I guess especially when you're someone that, I mean, I've never wrote a song, which I know is shocking because everyone looks at me and thinks a dewo. But is it quite a therapy session to put pen to paper? Because I think it's probably like writing a diary.
It is. I think like there's different, like I got really into writing for other people, like in lockdown, literally, like we were just like, the publishers and stuff, they send us out like briefs. So they're like, I know, Adele, I mean, not Adele, she writes her own stuff, but let's say Adele. Matt, Adele wants you to write her a song.
I wish.
But not that, but she's looking for a song of this tempo. Here's some tracks that she likes and would like the song to sound like, go. Right, so they send all that out, but it started with me with like K-pop. So like all these Korean boy bands that are coming up, that was like one of my biggest cuts because they sent it out to like, I don't know, 1,000 songwriters or whatever, and we all write to this track that they've
done.
Yeah,
works,
with K-pop, yeah, not in the UK or US, and well, mostly it's a very rare thing. So they've got this track produced that they love, and they send it out to all around the world, and then they pick the best one.
Gosh, that in itself is a whole pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, or there's just other things that will just be like, I don't know, like any artist is looking for a song with this sound. So you, like, I remember doing, like Jason Derulo, I was like, oh my God, perfect. Like a brief came in for him. And we was like, oh, the Barbie film's coming out. Maybe we can write a song for him for Barbie. So like we went down that route.
Yeah.
We didn't get it cut because he obviously wasn't in it in the end. But you know, things like that. So it's really interesting. I love it because like where I do musicals and stuff as well, and like I guess like do the occasional acting with that, it's nice to put myself in their perspective. I'm like, and I just think like, oh, I feel like I felt like Jason Derulo in the room. I was like, Jason Derulo. Like,
and I bet for someone that's got huge talent and is artistic, like you say, to be approached by, even if there's 999 other people, I bet there's almost just an honour, and because you love your craft so much, I bet whether it gets picked or not, and I don't know if that's the right terminology, whether it's picked
cut,
or
you can say cut. Yeah, it gets cut. But
that must, even just to be on someone's radar. Do you know what I mean? For Jason, his people get in touch. Yeah. I mean, I'll write a fucking song for Jason. Yeah, it won't be no good, but Jason, I'll sing with you, mate.
Right, exactly. It is, and
triple
it's so...
Triple threat me.
Absolutely. It's like, we know. Listen, sing, do radio, we? And a great roast potato.
Yeah. Come on. Am I not married?
Yeah, come on.
That's just your personality, Bob. That's the problem.
Bastard.
Love it.
So it's one of them. Would you say if you kind of had to put your hats on, because like you say, West End performer, songwriter, singer, do you have, or do you not like to be pigeonholed? What's your one thing you love the most?
I think I'm just like, an artist. Like, yeah. I am a singer. And I think I say artist because I can say underneath, like, artist is a singer-songwriter, basically.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And we call it artists in the music industry, people that do it for themselves, too. Mm. So I think, like, because I write for other people, but I also have my own project that I do, I say I'm an artist, singer, songwriter, that jumps in and out of the musical theatre world as and when I need to. Like, when I feel like I've had enough of the studio, or maybe I'm a bit burnt out, or I've written too many songs this year, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go fuck around on stage with a cast for, like, however long,
yeah,
go have a good time. And then by the time I'm sick of everyone, yeah, I'm like, let me go lock myself back in the yeah studio and write for other people again, alone,
oh, I love
in
that
the dark, crying.
But, I mean, you have been quite vocal, I think, along with quite a few of the X Factor people about your mm-hmm experience on the show, and mm-hmm it wasn't necessarily always that positive. Right?
Of course. I think, like, with everything we do, I'm sure there's some cons to this job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to work with each other.
Yeah, that's a fucking
or,
nightmare.
You know,
yeah,
things like that. The commute, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
yeah
the canteen shit. Like, but with this, like, I just, at the time, like I said, like, I was so young, especially young-minded, that I never thought what would happen if I actually won.
Like, right, I, yeah, because yeah, it's kind just, of beyond your
yeah, I was just rolling with yeah it. I was like, I didn't want to clean up flipping baby's pasta off the floor, like, tonight, so I'm going to go audition for the show instead. And then I just won. Do you know what I mean? So then I'm like, oh, fuck, I won. And yeah, of course, I think to date, you know, it's one of my biggest achievements. But I'd say it's not actually the show that I would say. I think I got it. Like, I think I understood actually what it was. Like, this whole thing, like, you have to be able to sing. You got to make sure that you pick the right songs. Like, mm-hmm, if you're picking the wrong songs that people aren't going to connect to, they're not going to vote for you. Like, they can love mm-hmm your voice as much as you want, but it's all about the music. It's yeah, all about yeah the songs. And I understood that. Whereas I think there were other, I can only speak for myself, but I think maybe there were other contestants that were like, but I really like this song. Okay, but nobody knows it. So just because you sing it really well, that doesn't mean it's going to get you to the next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But right, I think, I don't know if other contestants knew to put that aside or whatever, but I think I balanced it. I think I stayed myself enough whilst being able to, like, get involved with the game, because that's what it is.
I think, I guess, like you say, it's like you've got to read the room, haven't you? And it's one of them things where the stars have to align, I think, for a winner. So, like,
yeah,
week after week, because you can have the most amazing week.
Yeah.
And you could, I mean, we keep going back to Adele, like, with BFFs. Adele, if yeah you want to be BSS, I'll take yeah, your name.
I know you're listening.
she can't get enough of me, the girl. But it's one of them where everything has to fall. And I'm a big believer in fate. And I know some people go, well, that's airy,
no,
fairy.
I'm
but
you.
I'm very much, what's meant for us won't ever pass us by. Hmm. And when you're ticking them boxes, reading the room, because also when you then become an artist, you've got to be reading the temperature of a room. Mm-hmm. So it's setting you up really for what your career has now become.
Exactly.
But I wanted to ask, like, so you was 23 when you won.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was like 24 when I joined Towie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think as an age that's, because I look at some people that go into reality TV shows at 18, and I think it's such a young age for your life to change. I don't say it in a wanky way, to become fame, like, it's a weird world. Mm-hmm. And I take my hat off to 18-year-olds that can deal with that. Because mm-hmm I found that even at 24, I was a bit like, what? Because you're never really prepared for someone to jump out of a bush with a camera.
No.
When you're going for a spray tan or you're getting a meal deal with Mark.
At least you look gorgeous, though.
Thank you, babe. As long as the tan's on point,
mate,
I'll
take it. At least the tan was popping.
But how did you find that at 23? Because no one prepares you to be famous.
And that X Factor thing is intense.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's just like, I remember, like, the craziest thing that happened to me was, like, I had a drone, like, outside my house, a drone.
Fuck, that's invasive.
I was just like,
got surgery.
Yeah, I remember feeling like, what the... I was like, what is this world? Like, it's crazy. And then I learned a lot as well, just like, there's like knowing people and there's like friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
people
yeah
that you, because you'd always think like, oh, I know you. And then you'd go and say hello to someone that, and they'd be like, hello, like, can I help you? And you're like, we met at, oh, did we? You know, it's just like things like that. And I just suddenly thought, fuck, actually, no. Like, I'm literally a deer in headlights here. Like, and I had to just navigate. And it just turned into, I just didn't want to go to the events. I didn't give a fuck about that. I never thought, I say this with my hand on my heart. I never went on the show to be famous. I didn't even call myself famous today. I'm just like, I feel like, okay, I'm a guy that won a TV show once, but I'm an artist. I'm a songwriter. I live a very normal life. Yeah, I get recognised here and there, but it's nothing unbearable. No. Especially in London, no one gives a fuck.
No.
Like Denzel Washington pulls up on a Santander bike at the red light, and I'm like, hi, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. But it's just a weird world, like you said, and I think 18, God help me, if I was 18 when I did that, I don't know where I'd be today.
No.
I say that, like, you know, I really don't, because I had just that, and now I get it, because I look back and I hear things that people were saying to me, and they were like, oh, you're actually the perfect age. This is like producers or other people involved in the show. Like, you really are, like, you're probably the best age to do this now.
Yeah.
Like, you're young enough, but you haven't lived too much. Like, he's naive enough, so he'll follow. But because if I went and did it now, I don't think I would have won, because I wouldn't have been a yes man. I wouldn't have been like, we should sing this song. And I would have been like, no.
They would have painted you as difficult. You
would have had, like, I would have been the difficult one.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't
yeah.
you also think there's an element of, and I mean, not even just so much to the industry, even to going off piece completely, but even if I go to a theme park now, which I ain't done since pre-Penny D, but when I was younger, I had no fear. I didn't give a shit. I would have gone on any ride. Yeah. I was quite, I mean, I've never liked heights, but there were certain things I just didn't care about. So I think I was just a bit more ballsy back then. Mm. So if it come about now, that opportunity, I think I would almost be too scared or critical.
Yeah, we know too much.
Yeah.
Like, we have too much knowledge now to know what could go wrong.
We're too clever.
Yeah, we're too fucking clever.
Fucking intelligent bitches.
We are Einsteins.
Yeah.
Come on, high IQs right here. and I think it's that. I think the more life experience you have, the more you realise what's actually going on. What is this event actually about? Who actually wants to be here? Who just wants a photo?
Yeah.
Who cares about the award that's going on? There's so much that I just think into now, because anything I do, like, I'll just do it. I'll do it wholeheartedly.
Organically.
If I don't, I'll be like, I don't know, if I get an invite to, not that I do, but if I did, like, was invited to a brand that I was just like, I don't wear that. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas now I just feel like this makes sense for me, so I will go and do that.
Yeah,
but
right.
I feel like I have an understanding now of, like, what it actually is to be there. And I'm like, this is part of the job. So if I want to sell a few more records, then I get that I probably need to do a bit more publicity. So I will show up to this, but at least I believe in it. And I'll do both. Yeah.
And I think especially when it comes to social media, I think viewers on TV shows aren't stupid. I think people are very clever now, not just with reality TV, just in general. People know the bullshit lies, you know what I mean? So you don't ever try and fool the audience at all.
No.
But I think when you're organic, people also see that. So when it comes to even getting an ad or a spon back in the day on social media, your spons, your ads.
Yeah.
If I posted tomorrow morning, I'm promoting these lovely football boots, my followers are going to be, Bob, we're not too sure. If David does it, oh, David B, it's organic. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. I'm more likely to promote like a bath bomb.
I would love
bomb.
To be sending you that text message, Bob, being like, Bob,
got some lovely football boots for you.
Yes. He's great with balls.
it's been said once or twice. But Matt, I wanted to ask you, because obviously you've been a very busy man, and you've got a new song coming out.
I do.
Called You Don't Know Nothing.
That's right.
Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Because then I want to play a little bit.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah, so, I mean, I wrote this just myself and a producer, a friend of mine, his name's Tim. And I just felt that there is so much that, like, people don't know about me. And that's my choice. Like, I've chosen that, right? So I think I had this perception of myself from the industry, whether it be the music industry, whether it be this celebrity world that we live in, of just like, oh, he's just some... This is just my perception. He's just like a kid that won X Factor once, and yeah, okay, he's gone off and he's writing songs for people and he tours and blah, 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 blah. But I don't think anybody actually knows much about me, and I think it's because I was really guarded. Like, I chose to sort of like protect myself, and in that time I was like, this is just a dangerous world. I felt like out of place. Like, I really felt like, fuck, I don't belong here. I know I'm a good singer. Like, I say that, you know, with love and like, I'm modest, But of course, I recognise that. Like, I wouldn't have won if that wasn't the case. But I just am not, like, I don't know how to pretend, like, with things or people. And if I'm uncomfortable in a situation or if somebody's looked at me a certain way, I'm like, and it just makes me go into my shell. Mm. And I feel like that's what I did. So, like, this is, like, an introduction of, like, what's to come. So with my music now coming up, I really want to show who I am. Whoever's still listening, like, I want them to say, like, oh. And it's so funny because I put this out and I've not put out music in like 5 years. And my fans, even though I'm saying they don't know me, they're like, wow, this has never sounded more like you.
That's
like,
nice.
It just sat like
from the house.
Yeah, it's just you. Like, we, from the people that still follow me and know my journey, they're like, oh, wow, no, this is the most you've ever sounded like you. And I find, I'm like, I'm glad that comes across.
That's good.
So it means, you know, like, you don't know nothing is actually, it's a double negative. Yeah, so yeah, it's like, actually, you know something.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that there, but I feel like you do know something and I will tell you what that is. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, later to come.
Absolutely. Well, let's do a little teaser. I've got just a few seconds here. Yeah. So have a little teaser and then I'll come and say goodbye to you.
Yeah. Call me a pro when I play this game. I'ma cut you off and forget your name. I don't wanna drive myself insane. Oh, yeah. You keep running back if you got no shame. How could you believe that love don't change? Can we even call it love anyway? Tune.
Yeah, that is like some deep bass on that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I love it.
Matt,
thank you so much for coming in. The first guest in the studio, 2024. An absolute pleasure to see you,
honored.
Mate.
Thank you for having me, honestly.
You're so, so welcome. And keep doing what you're doing because you're smashing it, man.
Thank you.
And guys, we're going to take a little break and then me and Stephen are back to play a lovely little game.
Can't wait.
We'll see you in, 2 minutes.
Hey! FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas. Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years?
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 98.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Politics Uncensored. Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience and I was very pleased we did it. We wrote, the office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for them to come. The
Dating Show. I'm friends with a fair few exes and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
Well, I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah,
are you talking about someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone, you can't be like best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio, live, Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang.
And we are going to play a game.
Woohoo!
So the concept of the show is we're going to quote, or we're going to be fed quotes from our producer of like famous and iconic award ceremony speeches. It could be Grammys, Golden Globes, Oscars, BAFTAs, Trick Awards.
Got it. So, the National Reality TV Award.
Winner 2018 I think. Personality of the Year. Thank you.
Who voted for that?
The Nation. Nation's sweetheart. Queen of Arts, mate.
You're
Queen
right
of Arts.
Vera Lynn, aren't you?
Yeah. So, first one is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My mum and dad, they had sex.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm here.
Can I ask questions?
Yeah.
Is it a woman?
I mean, you can ask questions. I'm going to wait for the producer to tell me. No. So it's a man.
My parents had
sex. A man at the Oscars. My mum and dad, they had sex. It's amazing. I'm here. So it's a man at the Oscars. So that rules out a big chunk of the population.
It's 50%. I feel like this must be a Brit. An American wouldn't say something like that. Or an Australian or something. Because do you know what my first thought was? I thought it was Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I can't see Catherine talking like that. Have you not, mum and dad shagging?
Have you not seen the one where she points at Michael Douglas and she goes, that man over there, he's a movie star and I sleep with him every night.
Yeah, well, I mean, fucking fair play to the... Go on, Catherine.
You know, Michael Douglas is a lucky man.
Girl's done all right. She's pretty as well.
Okay. Give me a hint.
Okay.
You said the Oscars. Can I have the year?
Can we have... 2021. Oh... Best Supporting Actor. I couldn't even tell you the best actor was.
No, 2021.
It was a ropey year.
Yeah, a ropey year for film because nothing had been out for a year because of COVID.
Shit, so we're probably looking back at films that was released because nothing was in 2020, was it? So maybe it was 9-0. This game won't take long. We'll have to get through one question. Shall we just guess?
I give up. Okay. George Clooney. He won't be him.
I don't even know who to pull out the bat. I don't even know if I can count of a guess of Will Smith. Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh. He's Brit. He's a Brit, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
That was my second choice. It was a close one. Will Smith or Daniel.
So close. Yeah, so
far. Close. Yet very, very far. second one coming up. It's loading up. I feel like I'm hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Right.
Just like Chris Tarrant,
babe. Yeah. It's generally quite stressful. This is hilarious. I've got an Oscar. Okay. I have to thank lots of people. If, by the way, I forget anybody, I'm going to find you later and give you all a massive snog. I'm saying Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman, yeah.
Ding, 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 yes. Ding, ding. Bitches are right. I love Olivia Colman.
Is that the same one where she goes, oh, Lady Gaga, because she's in the crowd?
Yeah. And is that the one where I think she's very, I mean, her whole thing's iconic, but she's like, this is never happening again. So kids appreciate these. Because, I mean, I think it will happen, Liv. Mm. Lovely, lovely girl.
Yeah, and she keeps doing really impressive film roles. Of course it will happen again.
She's good at what she does.
Yeah.
Right, number three. You know... There are some days where I think to myself, I'm overrated, but not today.
Adele. It's Adele at the Brits.
Is it? Half a point because it is my BFF Adele.
Oh.
But, it's not. There ain't no half a point.
Oh. We're getting the producers telling us off.
It's at the Emmys 2024. 2004, Best Actress.
Meryl Streep.
Ding, ding, ding. But you ain't getting it after the Adele. Forget it.
No, as soon as you said that it was the Emmys, I remember the bit. I remember. Yeah, sure you did.
Funny that. Yay. Yay.
Fuck off, Bob.
I could have said that in my GCSEs. Oh, now I know that's it. I should have got the A star, but not the fucking D.
You got the D?
Once or twice. Right, moving on. Thank you to my parents for raising me to have confidence that is disproportionate with my looks and abilities. Well done. Disproportionate. Does that mean basically I'm as talented as I am good looking?
Or like I'm more talented than I am good looking. If it's confidence disproportionate, it's different.
Is more than looks. Oh, I quite like that. So that's quite, is that self-deprecating?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah. can I have a clue?
Yes. It was at the Emmys. 2008. I'll throw another one in for you.
Was it someone like Ricky Gervais?
No.
Okay, cool. Well, that's fine. I'm going to say goodbye now. Who do you think it is then, Bob?
I think
we've really got to drag this out.
Thank
so come
you
on
to my parents for raising me to have the confidence with someone that ain't blowing smoke up their own arse, and I like them already for that. It's at the Emmys. It is an hard game.
So the Emmys is TV, right?
Yeah. So
is it a comedian?
Yes.
But not Ricky Gervais.
Not Ricky. It's a woman.
Female comedian.
Female, woman, whatever you want to call it, girl.
Right, Bob.
Woman comedian.
A woman who would say that she's.
And what year is this, sorry?
Better looking.
2008. Could this be Rosa? No.
No, that's too. She was the 90s.
No, but did she come back before she got... Did she get cancelled? I don't
know. Yeah, she got cancelled. She was a Trump supporter, I think.
We don't claim him.
God.
We're going to have to give up and move on,
man. That's a difficult one.
Tina Fey, of course it is.
Oh, she's pretty, though. Tina Fey, yeah, Mean Girls.
But she's self-deprecating. Yeah. And that's a beautiful quality, which makes her even more beautiful. So, am I boring you? Right, here we go. Next one. Quote, I'm not from these parts. I'm from a little place called England. We used to run the world before you. Ooh. This is someone that's got some arsehole to stand in America and say that. This ain't Olivia Colman, I'm guessing.
Doesn't sound like something she'd say.
I'm not from these parts. I'm from a little place called England. We used to run the world before you. Could we get the award ceremony place, babe? What award is this? Golden Globes. Ooh.
So
it's a film.
A film.
A little film star from England that's got the arsehole to go to America.
What year?
2004. Ooh.
Ian McKellen?
Nah, wouldn't be Ian.
Sounds like something funny that he might say.
Because the thing is, as well, you can read that in a way you're like, oh.
Yeah.
But depending on who said them words, I think it's all about intent. Now, this could be the funniest fucking person in the world.
Yeah. Need to work harder on their jokes.
Little person in me has just told me that the category was comedy. Best comedy. When I say little person, not saying little person. I was going to say the little man in my ear, but then I tried to detract. Anyway, it's a woman that's in my ear. Anyway, no one cares. So, it's comedy. Comedian.
I don't know. I have to give up on that one. No idea.
Oh, it's male. It's male.
Jesus Christ, this game is the worst.
Oh.
What? What are you getting fed in your ear?
From the little man?
Yeah. What's the little man telling you?
I've said him already.
Ricky Gervais? No.
Yeah. It's Ricky.
Is it?
Ricky!
Ding, ding, ding to me.
Ding, ding, ding.
Got time for one more?
Well, we've got 3 minutes and it's taken us about 8 to do each one, so I reckon one more. Miss Madam, that's our lovely producer. Right, here we go. Are you ready, Mr. Leng?
Yes.
We get into character. Thank you.
That's just the start.
I went all royal like, on the crown.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys. Thank you. You guys are just standing up because you feel bad that I fell, and that's really embarrassing. But thank you.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yes!
Jane Lawrence. Ding, 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 ding.
Should have.
Final one. Throw one more in. Come on, Miss Maddie.
I should have dragged that one out a bit longer. Sorry.
I want to thank my co-stars. Leo, Margot Robbie, Margot Robbie's feet, Margaret Keller's feet, Dakota Fanning's feet. Seriously, Quentin has separated more women from their shoes than the TSA.
Because Quentin Tarantino has a thing for feet.
Oh, I hate feet. This ain't the lovely Olivia. No, she ain't talking about plates.
She hasn't filmed anything with Leonardo DiCaprio, has she? Margot
Robbie.
It's
a man.
So
it's a male member.
I bet.
What year, Miss Mad? 2020. Oh, fuck. Ropey year.
And the awards was... Green Actors... The Screen Actors Guild. Is it like George Clooney?
Close.
Brad Pitt.
Brad, yeah. It's yes. Mr. Pitt.
Yes.
Are you a Mr. Pitt fan?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
He's the same age as Nigel Farage. Do you know that?
Shut up.
60 years old, Brad Pitt.
He ain't 60.
He is.
I would.
I mean, I would talk to his surgeon. That's the one.
Shady. The shade. But he was. He's always been good looking.
Yeah.
But I'm Team Jane. Anyway, I could sit here and talk about the men from Hollywood that I would and I wouldn't. But thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Lovely to have you back. 2024. We will be speaking to you next week for another amazing episode. But
we certainly will.
We're out.
Bye.
Bye, guys.